Mic on, Andy?
Excellent. Just join with me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask the Holy Spirit to come this morning. Lord, just help me to step aside and you speak through your word, because your word is truth and it is life. And I pray that we will go away changed. Jesus' name, amen. I once knew a family that had come out of church one Sunday night. The husband was a pastor, and he was tired from pastoral ministry and preaching. They arrived home and realized they'd forgotten something. They'd forgotten their youngest child who had fallen asleep on the floor of the church. It was locked in. Luckily, they're only 5 minutes away from home. But they had to go back and get a child. Have you had that feeling that you leave the house, go to a party, and all of a sudden you realise you've left the gift behind? Or you've gone on holidays and you get up the road and you realise that you forgot to leave the cat food out? You must confess, I'm a forgetful person. I forget names and even important dates. It's embarrassing when you've spoken to people at church a number of times and then you go to talk to them and you've forgotten their names. That's happened to me a few times. It's embarrassing. Sometimes I even forget the good things that have happened in my life. But there's two things I'll never forget. Because if I forget these two things, my life will not be worth living. One of them is my wife's birthday. The second one is her anniversary. I'm constantly reminded of those. But see, often we forget the good things that God has done for us in our lives. And David understood this, and he realized this was a problem. And so he expresses the problem in the opening verses of this psalm, where he begins it with an anthem of praise to God. Verse 2, he says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." He's reminding himself to remember God's benefits to him and to praise God for these benefits. And all too often, I forget and need to remind myself to thank God for what he's done in me. In this psalm, David talks about several benefits there are to being a child of God. The first one we read in verse 3. He says, "Who forgives all our sins and heals all your diseases." So the first benefit is we have forgiveness and healing. Why do we need forgiveness? If I'm a good person, why do I need to be forgiven? If we take a quick trip back to Genesis, we'll see that Adam and Eve had a great life in the presence of God. They had everything they could possibly want. They enjoyed the beautiful garden. They enjoyed fellowship with God. But they disobeyed God by eating from the forbidden tree. And then they blamed each other. And so what happened to Adam and Eve was God punished them by banishing them from his presence. He banished them from the garden and out of his presence. They all of a sudden became strangers to God and no longer enjoyed fellowship with him. You see, having our sins forgiven is a really big deal. It cost God quite a lot to forgive the sins of his people. It was because of rebellion and disobedience that man became alienated to God. So we read in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." We were enemies of God because of our evil behavior. Verse 22 says, "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." I find that encouraging, that I was once alienated from God. I was once an enemy of God. But now he's embraced me and calls me his child. Their disobedience and rebellion to God is punishable by death. God told Adam that the day he eats the forbidden fruit, he will die. And it's not talking about a physical death, because Adam obviously didn't physically die that day. But being out of God's blessing, being out of the presence of God, is a spiritual death. We are dry, we have no hope, we have no future, we have no purpose. Spiritually dead. And the problem is there is absolutely no way that we can come back to God, because we have become totally depraved and sinful. So through that day, through when sin entered the world, mankind became totally enemies of God. There is no way that man can come back to God on their own. So we have a problem. How do we come back to God? So God, through sending his beloved son to die a criminal's death, has reconciled us to God. When we were enemies of God because of our behavior, because of our rebellion, because of our disobedience, Jesus Christ, through death, has presented us holy in God's sight and free from accusation. Jesus took the penalty he didn't deserve, but he took it because it was the only way back to God. So Jesus died in our place. Even more than that, God has pronounced us not guilty. Imagine you're charged with a crime and you come before the court to face your penalty. There you are expecting the worst, maybe a jail sentence. The jury has found you not guilty. The jury has found you guilty, proclaimed you guilty. But then an unusual thing happens. The judge overrules the jury and says, "No, I'm saying you're not guilty. You're free to go." Not only did we get off the charge, it's as if we were not guilty in the first place. And these are some of the blessings and the benefits that we have as children of God. When we were enemies of God, he forgives us, he heals us, and he pronounces us not guilty. And even more than that, it's as if we didn't sin in the first place. That's what's happened to us today. By the pardon of sin, which kept good things from us, kept us out of the presence of God, we are restored to the favor of God, who now gives us good things. No wonder David was reminding himself to praise the Lord. When we deserve punishment, when we deserve death, we were granted mercy. That is reason enough to praise the Lord. If you're here today and you think that you're too bad for God to forgive you, let me tell you that the price has been paid. Your death penalty, your sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ shedding his blood. He stood in your place. And now he says, "I want you to follow me." And any that come to him, he will not cast you aside. So other than forgiveness, in this psalm, David says he has redeemed us from the pit. What is meant by the pit? Is it a big hole in the ground? Could be. But no, it's more than that. The pit represents destruction or ruin. God redeems our life from ruin and eternal destruction. God has said that he will bring judgment and punishment on his enemies. They'll be cast into hell. And in this context, the pit is linked with Sheol, which is the place of the dead. God will cast his enemies into the pit of destruction at the end, when he returns in all his kingly glory. He will have victory over his enemies. He will cast them into the lake of fire. where they'll spend an eternity in utter torment. But we see here God, the great judge, casting sentence on his enemies. But we also see the same God calling us to himself, forgiving us, redeeming us, and setting us free, and calling us children. That's why David is telling himself not to forget the benefits of God. I complain a lot. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too expensive. Especially when the Parramatta Eels are losing. I complain a lot, bitterly. I weep and I mourn. Especially when my wife is a St. George supporter. But this psalm is an exhortation to me to stop complaining and focus on the benefits that I have as a child of God. How about you? Do you complain a lot? You say, oh, it's too cold. It's too wet. It's too hot. Stop complaining. And consider, say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not his benefits. So what actually does redemption mean? It's a term that stems from the Old Testament law. See, if a man lost his inheritance through debt and sold himself into slavery, he and his property could be redeemed if a family member came forward to pay the redemption price. So when Israel went into slavery, they went into debt. It was God himself who became their redeemer. Imagine that. That God himself, their father, came and redeemed them. And in the New Testament, Jesus has paid the redemption price. When we were in debt to sin, we were slaves to sin, we were enemies of God. We may have cursed God, but yet he sent Jesus, the only one worthy to pay the redemption price. So if you're sitting here today and you've been seeking, you've been wondering what all this Christianity is about, and thinking about following, becoming a follower of Jesus, let me urge you to do that. Make that decision, because one day it could be too late. Because God will not wait forever. Verses 6 to 14 talk about another benefit that we have as followers of Jesus, is justice and compassion. These verses are a beautiful illustration of the love and compassion of God. Not only is he offered forgiveness for our rebellious behavior and redeemed us, he brings us justice when the world tries to accuse us or destroy us or point the finger at us or mock us. God is good to all, but he's especially good to his children. He's always been full of compassion, unlike those who take every opportunity to torment, to persecute, and to chide. Where would we be if God was like that with us? Do you think God's tormenting us? I hear people say to me, God is a monster who loves to torment and just bring strife. Whenever tragedy strikes, people blame God. Let me tell you, how can a compassionate God bring destruction? God dealt honestly with Israel. Exodus 34:6 says that the Lord is compassionate. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. That doesn't sound like a monstrous God to me. And this passage, Lord is in capitals. When you see Lord in capitals, it's referring to God's personal name. So these are attributes of God himself, the Lord of creation, the Creator, the King of glory. They are his attributes. He's a God that is compassionate. He's slow to anger. He abounds in love. faithfulness. He's forgiving. You might ask, well then, why does he send people to hell? Because the second part of verse 7 is quite clear. He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. God, as the judge, must punish sin. He must destroy it. And therefore destroys his enemies. From time to time, he needs to wake us up. He needs to chasten us because he loves us. You know, a clip round the head every now and again from God never hurts us. But the wicked and the rebellious will be punished for their continued disobedience, for their continued rejection of the God of mercy. But while he is a judge and punishes sin and the sinners and those that disobey him, he also is compassionate and shows mercy to those who are truly sorry. To those who are truly sorry and say, God, I've been a fool. Forgive me. Now I'm sorry. I've been going my own way. I want to live for you now. He will show you mercy and compassion. So if you're thinking that God is punishing you, you only have yourself to blame for that. We go back to Psalm 103, the verses 17 and 18. It gives a striking contrast to God's mercy here. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Here is a complete reversal of the passage in Exodus, where God said that sin of the fathers will be punished onto the children and the children's children. Is that a contradiction? Is God playing games with us? Is God tormenting us? No, he's not. You see, just as God had promised in Exodus that the guilty will be punished to the children of the third and fourth generation, to those who repent and follow him, he will pour out his love forever. He will declare you righteous, and he will declare you not guilty. And he will say, you're my child. Not only will God carry out his justice on those that are his enemies, he will carry out his justice on all who are oppressed. He will have compassion on those who follow him and keep his commandments. He will give us good things. He will satisfy your desires with good things. He will make our youth renewed like the eagle, which is good news for me, because I'm getting older, as I'm constantly reminded sometimes. But my strength is to be renewed like the eagle's. Verse 12 tells us that he has removed our sin far from us. It's as far as the east is from the west. Hanging on the cross, Jesus took our sin that far. East and west never meet. That's how far removed sin is from us. We do not have to be slaves to sin any longer. Sin's power has been broken through the blood and the cross and the death of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. We will slip up at times. We will make mistakes because we still have humanity within us. But God will help us. A good father will discipline a child to help the child and prevent that child from getting out of control. But that same father will also wrap his arms around that child when he scrapes his knee, when he's been bullied at school, when he's crying and upset. That same father will show compassion and love for that child. Verse 19 to 22. God rules over all. David concludes with a call to praise. It doesn't matter what we go through in this life. We know from this psalm that the kingdom of God rules over all. If we are followers of Jesus, we have hope, we have assurance, we have peace, we have direction. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you're outside of his presence, it's hopeless. Life seems hopeless. This world's a mess. I mean, who'd want to be part of this? It's a mess. But let me tell you, the kingdom of God rules over all. And one day, nobody knows when, but one day, that kingdom is going to come and be ruled from earth. God will restore everything back to normal. God will restore this world back to the way he had planned it, with him as a ruler. We're being encouraged to praise God for all the benefits he has given us. All of creation, including the angels in these verses, are told to give him praise. So David, like Tim this morning, comes to the podium and encourages all of creation to give praise and honor to the God who created them, to this great God who is not far away. He is right here. So what is the right response to God, to a God that rules over all and can, with one word, cast his enemies into eternal destruction and yet show mercy on those who follow him? Show me another God in any religion that claims to do that. The right response, the only response, is to surrender and become his child. See, in the busyness of life, we can become so distracted with things that we forget these benefits we have in being children of God. God has paid the penalty for our sin by sacrificing Jesus, the only one worthy to redeem us. He's calling you to come to him. He's calling you to come to him. How will you respond? If you're a Christian, let me encourage you to praise the Lord for all his benefits. If you're here today and you are searching for hope and peace, you're searching for some meaning in life, Jesus wants to give it to you. Just for, indulge me for a minute or two. I just want everyone in attitude of prayer right now. This is a very, very important, life-changing time. I don't want any distractions right now. Just close your eyes right now. Just consider your life. Where is your life? Are you an enemy of God and headed for destruction? Has God been talking to you, calling you? If that is you, please be bold right now. And just put your hand up so I can see it quickly. I want to say a prayer for you. Otherwise, you can come and see me. I don't want to embarrass you. So if you don't want to raise your hand, please come and speak to me at the end. One hand there. Thank you. Any other hands? I'm just going to say a prayer right now. There's one bold person here that just raised a hand. And within your heart, I just want you to repeat this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I've been your enemy. I've been going my own way. I've disobeyed you. I cannot come to you alone. I just want to accept the gift of your Son right now and your mercy. Jesus, please forgive me for my sin and my disobedience. Help me to turn and follow you. From this day forward, I give my life and surrender my life to you and become one of your children. Jesus, I thank you. Let's pray as I close. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that you have chosen us. I thank you that you have brought us into your family. You've given us mercy when we deserve none. Lord, you redeemed us when we didn't deserve it. Help us to go today remembering your benefits. In Jesus' name.